Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
You're going to meet the person of your dreams today. I'm very sex-driven, so don't be shocked or anything like that. I don't want to deal with that crap.
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much. Thank
Hold
you.
On tight. All right. Things can get a bit weird.
You bet.
If you like that sort of thing.
You got it. Whatever. How are you? Good to be with you on this fine day. We're going to have a good time today. Well, we're going to try to have a good time. It'll happen. Make yourself comfortable unless you're driving. Other than that, take it easy. Take your shoes off. Take your pants off. Let's get familiar. One thing I guarantee you, as a friend, I will never borrow your power tools. I don't know how to use power tools. They scare me. The word tool and power to me are take a finger off, so no. I never in my life went to my neighbor and said, can I borrow a cup of sugar? Because guess what? They sell that in the stores and it's cheap. If you go next door to borrow a cup of sugar, you don't have much on hand, do you? Did you ever go next door and say, excuse me, can I borrow some toothpaste? I'm out. How about buying some from the store? Oh, yeah, but then you got to get in the car and you got to buy toothpaste. I just want to brush my teeth. Is that a problem for you? Did you ever go to your neighbor and knock on the door and say, well, I'm a little horny today. Can I borrow your sister? I don't think so. Want to borrow your power tools, a tube of toothpaste, sugar, and your sister. What the hell am I talking about? What kind of way is that to start a show? It made no sense whatsoever. I wasted about 3 minutes of your time there, didn't I? Well, it's going to get worse. I do have a great guest coming up, though. During the program, toward the end slot, I call it, the end slot, during the booty portion of our program. She's an incredible author. She's written a book called Unprecedented. The precedented part is spelled like president because it's a book about Donald Trump and his childhood. What he was like as a child, the way he was raised, his history, his background. Nothing that he's done now, but stuff that happened in his childhood. It's fascinating. How did he become who he is? A moron. How did that happen? An unsensitive, an insensitive little piece of crap. How did that happen? You know, I've been alive for a period of time now. I won't specify how long. And I have never, in presidential office, had to deal with a guy like this, who is just totally, destructively awful. The closest we came to that was the last Bush, which sounds in the description, where you go when you lost your keys. Well, did you look everywhere in the house? I can't find my keys. Did you look in the last Bush? Oh, there they are. You can't say you lost your keys anymore. You have to say, I lost my fob. A fob is that little thing that, you know, the little thing you hold in your hand and it opens up your car, and without it on your person, your car won't start. That's a fob. Those of you who have newer model cars, you have fobs. You don't use keys. No keys for you. You don't stick a key in the ignition, no. You push a button and you have a fob on you. I don't know. I have no idea what the hell's going on. I really don't. Do you have the keys to the car? No, there are no keys. What? How do you do that? I have a fob. Oh, I didn't know that. A fob. You didn't tell me you had a fob. The hell's a fob? What does that stand for? Fob. What is that? What's a fob? Who came up with that word? Is it short for something? Is it fobulous? What is that? Do the letters stand for something? F-A-B? Find automobile, but don't use a key? I don't understand. Where did fob come from? It's probably spelled P-H-A-B for all I know. That's the English language that I grew up with. I don't know. So she wrote this book called Unprecedented. It's about the president's childhood. Fascinating. We're going to speak to her. It's very revealing. And she's not revealing. She's going to do the interview with her clothes on, but the book is revealing. So that's coming up a little bit later on in the program. I ran into a lady yesterday. Not physically, you know, just like it's a term that you use. I, you know, came across her path, so to speak, and we were having conversation. And I said to her, like, what are you making for dinner tonight? And I didn't mean it in a sexist way, because I thought men cook as much as women do. And she responded by saying, well, I don't cook. And it's not a sexist thing, because most men will say, I don't know how to cook. My wife's a great cook. I don't cook. Is she a great cook because she gets home earlier from work than you do and she has time to cook? No. I don't know how to cook. You don't know how to cook. Seriously, did you just say, I don't know how to cook? And guys will usually say, no, I don't. No one taught me how to cook. You need to be taught how to cook. Do you understand what cooking means? Cooking means you take something, you heat it up, and then you eat it. What is your problem? Well, I don't know how to cook. What are you talking? Do you know how to turn a stove on?
Well, I guess there's a knob that you turn and it says on.
Oh my God. You actually have a job? What kind of idiot are you?
Well, but I don't know how to cook.
What do you mean? You don't understand what you're saying. You're stupid. If you're a human being and you know how to walk and you know how to talk, then you know how to cook.
Oh, I don't know what to do.
You know, it's not that you don't know what to do, that you don't know how to cook. It's that you want to let somebody else do it for you. You're, for some reason,
no, it's not that, Ron. When I cook, it all comes out wrong.
How can it come out wrong? That's like saying, I have to go to the bathroom, but I don't know how to take a shit. You sit on the toilet, you squeeze it out.
I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to wipe my ass afterwards. I've tried to figure that out. What do you take the toilet paper, and what do you do with it then?
Oh my God. It's the same thing with I don't know how to cook. Open up a can of something, pour it in a pan, turn the heat on, wait until it's hot, put it on a plate and eat it. You've just cooked.
Well, Ron, that's not cooking, that's heating up.
That's what cooking is.
I don't know how to cook.
Spaghetti, you know how to make spaghetti?
I don't know.
Take some water, you boil it. Can you do that?
I guess.
When it starts boiling, you take the, listen to this, you open up the box of spaghetti, you pour the spaghetti into the pot, and you let it just boil in there for about maybe 5 minutes. And then you drain it and you eat it.
Yeah, but I don't know how to cook.
I just told you how you cook.
What about the sauce that goes on top?
Open a jar of it. Heat it up, put it on the top of it.
Well, it's that simple?
Yes, because you're a moron. You don't understand. I don't know how to cook.
How about chicken?
Right, you buy some chicken.
What do I do with it?
Put it in a pan. Heat it up in the pan. When it's done, how do I know it's done? You try it. When it's done, you put on a plate, you eat it. Oh, that doesn't sound very appetizing. Then open up a jar of sauce and put it on. What the hell's wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Don't ever tell somebody you don't know how to cook. It's an admission of stupidity. It really, don't ever do that. I know you like to seem helpless. I get that. I mean, it's a thing, you know. You like to be mothered. You like to be coddled. You like people to do things for you. It makes you feel warm. It brings you back to your childhood where you didn't have to do anything but sit in your bed and read comic books. I get that. You didn't have to go to the refrigerator, open a bottle of milk, you just sucked on your mother's breasts. I get that. That was easy. But come on, man. It's time to grow up. Don't know how to cook. Come on. Do you know how to change a light bulb? No, no one ever told me. You don't have to be told that stuff. As a human being, you're supposed to put two and two together and get five. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't get it. I'm not sure about that. You got to add a little excitement to your life. You have to find your thing. And that's important. You have to find your passion. I read a book about that once when I was a kid. Find your passion. I had a guidance counselor in school. It was no good to anybody. But he said one thing to me that stuck for the rest of my life. And he said, Ron, in life, no matter what you do for a career, find your passion. And if you can make money doing your passion, then you're really good for life. But if you can't do that professionally, find your passion and do it on the side. Everybody needs to find their passion. And I responded by saying, how many times are you going to say the word passion? But it stuck to me because passion says so much. So I had to find my passion. In other words, what am I really good at? What makes me feel good when I'm doing it? And then I thought, maybe I should be a pimp. Because I enjoy sex, at least I did around that age, more so, I enjoy that, it's a good feeling, that's my passion. How can I make money at it? Oh my God, I have to be a prostitute or a pimp. So, no, I'm kidding, I don't think that's the passion that the guidance counselor was talking about. And then I looked at the guidance counselor, and I don't think I said it. I thought it. I thought, what's your passion, guidance counselor? Is it giving advice to adolescent kids, using the word passion as much as you can? Is that your passion? But I didn't say that, because that would have been pathetic, and also not nice to say. But I understood what he was saying. Find something you love to do and that you're good at. And run to it when you need to get away. What's your passion? I love to cook. I love to cook. And I don't care if I'm just cooking for myself or cooking for eight people. It doesn't matter. I love to cook. It relaxes me. Perhaps a little glass of wine while I'm cooking helps relax me, but that's not the point. I like to cook. Do I make money cooking? No. No. But I enjoy it. That's one of my passions. I have many. Some of them I can't talk about on the air, so let's just stop this conversation right now. But again, as your guidance counselor, I say to you, find your passion, find your thing, and then do it on the side. And for that, you will say, I was created to do this. And if I can't make money doing it, at least I have spent my life doing what I think I was put on this earth to do. So find that passion, embrace it, and see what happens. Give it a shot. Give it a shot. I'm not good at giving things a shot. I'm a little lazy, I must admit. I think my passion is being lazy. I find great comfort in lying on my bed with my dog watching television. I think I was created to do that. I think God said, as if God verbalized things, God said, "Look, I've created everything. I've created animals. I've created saints. I've created wheelchairs. I've created doorknobs. I've created everything. But I have one thing left to create, and that's a lazy son of a bitch who likes to watch TV lying in bed with his dog. And then they turned to me, and I said, I will take this on as the representative of this category for life. I shall carry the torch for all those lazy individuals who don't want to do anything ever for any reason except watch TV mindlessly and waste their lives lying in bed with their dog. And then sometimes I don't think I do that well. That's a problem. So what are your passions? You know what you do? Put a resume together for a job and then say what you like to do, and somewhere in there might be one of your passions. By the way, if one of your passions is skiing, then I don't understand you. There are two types of people I don't understand on this planet. Not to say you're wrong, it's just I don't understand you. One of them are Trump supporters. I'll never understand you. I will never, ever, under any circumstances, understand you. We'll just say that that's a fact and leave it at that. Nothing to argue about. I just will never understand you. The other thing is people that love to ski. I'll never understand you. I don't get you. You sit on a ski lift, and it brings you to the top of a mountain. You put these slippery wooden things under your feet, that you really can't walk in. When you do, you look like some type of paraplegic penguin. You get to the top of the mountain, you look down, and it's like jumping off a mountain with wooden planks on your feet. Everything is covered in snow, there's ice, there are trees conveniently placed on the side so that you can slam into them and die immediately. And you find this exhilarating. You say that increases your adrenaline. Here's how I increase my adrenaline. I drink a lot of beer and I pee a lot. That takes care of that problem. But you choose for some reason to stand on the top of the mountain and then push yourself off of the top in a downward spiral. And you actually think in your head that you're going to walk away from this alive. Well, most of you do, but not all of you. Most of you do, but you spend a lot of time in the hospital fixing broken legs and torn ligaments and horrible, horrible, horrible accidents. I don't know too many skiers that didn't break something in quite an extreme manner. Now, a lot of people think that you're really brave and you're really adventurous. I don't think you're that. I think there's something wrong with you. I think you're out to hurt yourself. If you want to up your adrenaline, here's what you do. Before you go to bed at night, Get some heavy chains and wrap them around the handle of the refrigerator in your kitchen and put a big freaking lock on it and throw away the key. When you get up in the morning, go downstairs to get something to eat. You can't open your refrigerator, but you know there's food in there. Watch your adrenaline start increasing immediately. That's an adventurous thrill that you can't get anywhere else. Try it. You'll see what I'm talking about. I do love to eat. I really do. I do love going to restaurants because I love to throw my money away on buying stuff that I could probably make in the kitchen myself because I know how to cook. It's one of my passions. But there is one restaurant nearby that really is fantastic. I think you should try it. It's run by a former boxing champion. It's some good Italian food, man.
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But I hung up my boxing gloves recently and put on my chef's hat to open my brand new restaurant.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots. Headshots serve some of the best Italian crayons.
That's cuisine.
Italian cuisine in the area. You come in and I'll give you a meal that'll knock you out. Ah, crayons.
That one says meatballs, Bobby.
Meatballs are the best you've ever tasted. Come in for my 1-2 punch pasta and daily lunch specials. Every day, daily lunch specials are every day.
We're all good on that one, Bobby. Let's keep going.
All right. So listen, come into...
It's called Headshots, Bobby. Headshots.
Headshots, thank you. Headshots, and ask for me. What the hell is my name?
Headshots is located downtown at the corner of Flange and Hassenpfeffer. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner if Bobby remembers the keys and where the restaurant is.
Hey, Ron.
Martha Brickenbrow joins us now. She's penned quite a few books on various subjects. This one is of great interest to many, and this is about the man that sits in the White House at this time. We go back in time and we take a look at his past. There are some biographies written about Trump, but this one is quite interesting, actually. What makes this different?
This one is written for young readers, so people ages 12 and up. This, of course, does not exclude adults, but I wanted to have a thorough and well-researched and factually accurate account of the president for the next generation of voters.
Very interesting. And a lot of these, quote-unquote, young people will be voting rather soon.
Millions of them will be voting rather soon. One of my daughters just turned 18 and voted in the November election, and so I have a front row seat.
The book doesn't hold back. It is exactly what it is, including conversations on racism and other foibles that may have come up in this particular individual's past and present. It gets into it, and well, it should, because it is part of it.
It's definitely part of it. And, you know, this is one of the things where Trump is not like other presidents.
No, not
quite.
He
didn't serve in the military. He's never held public office. And so really, in order to understand who he is and how we got here, I looked at his life and even a bit of his family history.
It's interesting because I think that from what I've talked to in my business in the media, it seems like young people are actually more in tune to this person's insides and background than the adults are for some reason.
I think that there's a lot of truth to this. One of the mistakes that adults often make is to assume that all young people are alike. We know that not all adults are alike, but certainly, there is a large percentage of young people who are politically engaged and active. We can certainly see that with the kids who survived the Parkland school shooting, what they've done.
Yes.
And with my own children, after the election, they went out and protested in the streets. And so we definitely have kids who are aware of the world that they're going to inherit, and they want to know what's going on.
Yeah. Thank God those kids actually did go out into the street and express themselves, because I don't think many young adults and teens listen to the older adults anymore, because it's just noise. But when someone of their own generation has a happenstance and speaks out, that goes like right to the bone.
It does go right to the bone. You know, kids have credibility with each other that adults don't necessarily have, and it's probably because we've squandered it by not being truthful with young people. We have a habit as grown-ups. You know, we don't talk to them about money. We don't talk to them, you know, really about sex. We don't talk to them about a whole lot of things because it makes us uncomfortable. We say, oh, we're protecting the kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, nonsense. We're supposed to be teaching kids how to live in the world, and that requires unflinching honesty.
Yeah, well, the world is different now because even adults lived in that crazy bubble back in the 50s, 60s, and broke out a little bit in the 70s and then regressed. But yeah, this is a different time. This is where everything is on the table, whether it's good or bad. It's splattered all over the media, all over the social media. The president himself makes sure that you know every nook and cranny of his weird mind. So yeah, it's a bombardment, if I were a teen at this time, I would feel very, very, I'd feel like there's a loose cracked foundation under me. And I didn't feel that as a kid when I was growing up.
Well, I don't know how old you are, but I was of the age where we were worried about nuclear war.
Yes, I was there. Yeah,
you know, there was that movie The Day After, which they played on television back in the day when we didn't have television on demand. So we all kind of had to watch it. Now it really is a bombardment of information. And so one of the things that I wanted to do with this book was choose representative events and representative statements to portray an accurate picture. Yeah.
I guess when you go digging into someone's background and earlier biography, such as you do with Trump, you start to see that he may not be like you and me, and that may that's something a lot of people don't really hear about or dig about, but that's really important because this is a man with weird foundation, and it shakes up a teen's idea of what's real and what isn't real, what's true and what isn't true, what's sexist and what isn't sexist, what's racist, what isn't. I mean, man, how much stuff can you throw at my face at once?
It was a great deal of stuff. You know, there was all this history. And Trump isn't like you and me, you know, unless you were a toddler with a huge trust fund.
No, didn't happen.
Trump was an enormously wealthy boy. He was a problem right from the start, and after he got caught playing with knives by his dad, he was sent off to a military school, the same one that John Gotti went to. John Gotti, the Teflon Don, the mobster who eventually was brought down by Robert Mueller. The twists and turns in this story are incredible, and you know, they're all now here in one place.
Hey, you know, you could have been a great fictional writer and it wouldn't have changed anything.
You know what? It actually would have. I also write fiction. I do both fiction and nonfiction. And I was joking with the editor who publishes my fiction is the editor, the U.S. editor of Harry Potter. And I was joking with him that there's no way I would get away with the kind of characterization that real life is presenting us with, because most people are more nuanced. Donald Trump is not actually all that complicated. He's a very rich man who has a psychological need to win, and he will do whatever it takes to win. So it's pretty straightforward.
The interesting thing about your book is that when you go back into this man's past and upbringing and environment, it all becomes kind of clear, and as you use the word yourself, it is kind of simple because it's right there in front of you as to how this really evolved in this man's life. And we talk about this government shutdown and how he has no empathy and no feelings for the people that are going through the hard times. It's because he never had to, he never experienced anything like that.
He never experienced anything like that, although he certainly was in financial peril of his own making.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. When he was running his businesses, he routinely stiffed contractors.
Right.
You know, so this is, you know, electricians, drywall contractors, people providing pianos for his casinos. He just mm-hmm. didn't pay them, yeah. or he would give himself a discount that was not fairly negotiated, which is, you know, because he was a white guy in a suit and tie, mm-hmm. he could get away with that. If I walked up to you on the street and I said, you know, give me your money, that's robbery.
Right,
and
right.
when someone sniffs somebody in a business deal, that's also, it's just a polite form
right.
of robbery that people get away with because of the power they have as being, you know, influential white businessmen.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's not something that you and I would do. We pay our bills. We
Correct.
Pay our taxes.
Correct.
We take pride in that. Trump wouldn't.
No, because we were brought up with morals, and I know in your book it also shows how he was brought up, which also becomes personality-wise very understandable why he reacts the way he does. We are products sometimes of the way that our environment was when we were little children. I get that, but a lot of us change accordingly. That didn't happen here.
That's right.
And I don't think the man's ever
lived.
Yeah, come on.
No, we have choices.
Yeah.
And Trump chose to do the government shutdown,
yeah.
just like the contractors he didn't pay. He didn't
yeah.
care about those people
right.
whose companies he bankrupted.
Right.
And I don't see any evidence that he actually cares about the government employees.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be surprised if he said, look at how much money I've saved taxpayers. And this is because
yeah.
he doesn't understand that shutdowns
well,
are eventually expensive.
Yeah.
They are not a money-saving tool.
No. Well, if he were ever on Dr. Phil, Dr. Phil would turn around and say, you know, I get your problem, but you've been enabled all your life. And now the country, and especially many members of Congress, are enabling this. And that just never works out. We don't have any more time, but we do have the book, and it's called Unprecedented. And it's available everywhere. Is there a website where we can get some more information?
Yeah, it's just my name, MarthaBrokenBro.com.
Okay, I'm going to spell that for people. BrokenBrouGh. And fascinating book. Thank you for writing it. And thank you for your time today. It's been a good conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. And that shall be your episode for today. I hope you join me every weekday at any time of the day. We're always here. And, hey, follow me. Look at me. Follow me. All right, that's enough. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day. I do wish it upon you, and I also wish you peace. Go forth and multiply. Find your passion. It's near the last bush, near the fob.